All right, everybody, welcome to another week of the Doe and 5-0 show. Joe?
Lee.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How's it going?
Fantastic. It's looking a little gloomy out there today. It's a little gloomy.
There's a little thunder and lightning, and I just set up my sprinkler in the backyard, so that'll...
Looks like the big guys are already taking care of that for you
today. Yes.
Exciting times here in our neck of the woods. You know what this week is?
School week, isn't it?
Back to school. All you parents out there, best time of the year. Kids are going back to school. That's your wife's favorite time of year.
They're crying. Oh, teachers are crying.
The parents. Maybe that's why it's raining outside today. Tears for everybody. Tears for everybody.
The parents are rejoicing, though.
This summer actually seemed to fly by for me. I can't believe it's time for them to go back already.
But. That's because you don't ever rest. Yeah. You're always doing stuff. You've got this. You've got Madhouse. You've got the whole police thing that you do.
Yeah.
Then you have all that fundraising that you do. You don't ever have a rest.
I used to think my parents and grandparents were crazy when they say as you get older, time flies by. Of course, when you're younger, it seems like it comes to a standstill. The days are long and the weeks
are longer.
Especially
school days.
Yeah. And now it's like, boom. This is the quickest the summer's gone by yet for my family and I. So kind of hard to believe it's ready for them to start back up again, but we're ready. We're ready. Well, with that being said, let's go ahead and dive into the news headlines this week. This one is out of Beaverton, Oregon. Deputy sees DUI suspect pour alcohol into the into a Taco Bell employee's mouth in the drive-thru. A Cornelius woman didn't get a fourth meal when she went to Beaverton Taco Bell early Saturday morning. Instead, she got arrested. The Washington County Sheriff's Office says 23-year-old Elena Aguilar-Badafuco drove to a Taco Bell drive-thru and passed a deputy before she reportedly reached the window and poured alcohol into the mouth of the employee who was working at the drive-thru window. The Sheriff's Office said she did all of this while she was still in her car. Badafuco was booked in the Washington County Jail on a charge of driving under the influence of intoxicants. It's going to be one of those days.
Yep.
The sheriff's office said she blew a .12 BAC at the jail. There she is. We'll put her mugshot up there
for
everybody to see.
She doesn't look real drunk. Yeah. So what happened to the Taco Bell employee that had alcohol poured in their throat?
Don't say.
And, okay, well, maybe the drive-thru's are there. Maybe she's in a truck. Because when I'm in my little SUV, the drive-up window's up fairly high. So you'd have to reach up and...
Or maybe she's normal height.
Perhaps.
Out of Las Cruces, New Mexico, police say woman orders food, tells server, this one is on God.
I didn't know God was picking up the tab lately.
Apparently in New Mexico, this person thought that he was. A New Mexico woman is facing charges after police say she ordered food from the local Sonic and told the server, this one's on God, before fleeing. The Las Cruces Sun News reported that 30-year-old Delilah Hernandez was arrested Monday in a felony robbery case. Police say Hernandez rode her bicycle into a Sonic in Las Cruces and ordered a meal. When the server asked for payment, she allegedly told him, this one's on God. Police say the server told her, that's not how this works, but gave her the meal after she came toward him. Police later found Hernandez in a nearby park. It's not known if Hernandez had an attorney who would comment on the allegations. Authorities said her charges could possibly be reduced. This one's
so
a big guy.
It was grand. Did it say grand theft?
No.
For a Sonic meal? What I thought you said it was. It seemed to be something excessive.
In New Mexico, let's see. They charged her with. You think I could find it as short as this is? It's felony robbery is what they're calling
felony
it.
Felony robbery, yeah. For a Sonic meal.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's worth it. But why? Okay. If God's picking up the tab, why is she being arrested? Seems like they should go after God. He's the one who skipped out. The thunder is going to hit.
Yeah. Excuse me while I scoot over just a little bit here today.
It was just a joke. It's just a joke.
It's not a good one. It's not a good one.
Well, no. That'd be unlike me.
Out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Lafayette.
A man sitting on the toilet fights back against armed home invaders. A man told police he was sitting on the toilet when two men broke into his home and tried to rob him. Lafayette Police Department officers were called to the 1400 block of Columbia Street around 4:30 p.m. on July 21st for a report of an attempted robbery. The victim told police he was upstairs in the bathroom using the facilities when two men kicked in his front door and came upstairs to rob him. He told police one of the men pointed a gun at him and demanded his property, but he could tell it was a fake gun, so he decided to fight back. Police say the victim told them that he grabbed the guy with the gun and threw him down the stairs, riding him all the way to the bottom. Doesn't say if his pants were on when
I was just going to say.
Police say the suspects are described as two younger black males. One man was between 5 foot eight, was between 5 foot 8 inches tall, lighter skinned with facial hair and black dreads. The second man was between 5 foot 9 inches tall with dreads, and he was wearing a mask and a hoodie. Police do not have any suspects in custody at this time. Police say the victim did receive minor injuries from the scuffle. The incident remains under investigation. If you have any information, contact Lafayette PD.
So one guy didn't all the way down the stairs. One guy didn't have a mask on.
Yeah.
The other one did, the one with the fake gun, I'd imagine. So you're on the toilet, which is your probably the most vulnerable place you can ever be. You're pretty much defenseless. Guy breaks into the bathroom and holds a gun to him. He can tell in that split second that it's not a real gun and gets up, pushes him down the stairs. Imagine taking baby steps and rides him down the steps.
It's quite the mental picture. First time I read that article,
man, I hope that guy has cameras in his house. That'd be awesome. And then, but then they ran away. So there's two of them against one man without pants on, and he won.
They were probably quite mortified if that guy got up commando style and started riding
especially
his buddy down the stairs.
If he hadn't cleaned up yet. I got poop on my back.
Whole new definition of railroad track, probably on that guy's face.
Surprised that wasn't in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. We had a couple articles from Indiana this week. Vernon, Indiana. The sheriff's office took a bite out of crime this week after recovering a woman's dentures that had been reported stolen. The woman contacted the Jennings County Sheriff's Office on Monday and said her dentures were stolen by another woman, according to a Facebook post. The theft victim said the suspected thief was wearing the teeth. A deputy checked with the suspected thief's probation officer. The woman had worn the teeth to a probation meeting that were clearly not hers, according to the probation officer report. The deputy located the theft suspect Wednesday and went to speak with her at her home. There, when he arrived at the home, the deputy saw the dentures in plain view with the theft victim's name on them. I didn't know you could put your name on dentures teeth.
They're tattooed on the gums. She had to invite them in. I mean, they can't be on there. So did she have a little sign on there? Martha's dentures?
That's gross. Why would you take somebody else's teeth?
She went to a probation meeting. I'll bet she doesn't have teeth, and she wanted to seem presentable. But I don't know if borrowing somebody else's dentures are going to make you presentable, but I'm guessing that's what happened.
Yeah, that's gross.
Okay.
Out of Marion County.
Wait, we just got done somebody riding someone down the stairs with his ass, and the teeth were gross. Okay, go ahead.
Out of Marion County, Indiana, the Marion County Sheriff's Office looked into the investigation and concluded a police officer forgot that he took a bite from a sandwich after reporting it that he had received a sandwich without that had a bite out of it already, apparently.
So he took a bite, forgot that he took a bite, and reported that somebody took a bite out of a sandwich.
So according to the story, last week, a Marion County Sheriff's Office employee purchased a McChicken sandwich from a local McDonald's on Morris Street in Indianapolis.
Well, is that what he got or is that what he ordered?
More
than likely, that's two different things.
The employee took a bite out of the sandwich upon starting a shift at the Marion County Jail, then placed it in the refrigerator in a break room. He returned nearly 7 hours later, having forgotten that he had previously bitten into the sandwich. He wrongly concluded that a McDonald's restaurant employee had tampered with his food because he is a law enforcement officer. Our partners at McDonald's who have been helpful and have assisted in the Sheriff's Department's investigation into what transpired with our employee. The investigation has determined that McDonald's restaurant staff in no way tampered with the employee's food. He has since formally apologized to McDonald's, and they recognize that McDonald's is a valued civic partner, and they basically their allegations against them were unfounded.
So he got that. He put it in a refrigerator at work. Is that where he had it?
Yeah.
Food never stays at a refrigerator at work, does it? And when I was in the Army, stuff in a refrigerator is pretty much for anybody. you can put your name on it. That was cute.
Community
but
fridge.
It really wasn't. Yeah.
Out of Statesville, North Carolina, on-duty uniformed deputy refused service at K Jewelers for having a gun on his side. A uniformed county sheriff's deputy in Statesville, North Carolina, was turned away from a K Jewelers store on Wednesday because he was carrying his duty weapon. The deputy went into the store on his lunch break after being notified that the engagement ring that he had purchased for his upcoming wedding proposal was ready to be picked up. He pulled into the Turnersburg Highway store in his marked patrol vehicle, but was intercepted at the front door by a K Jewelers manager. The manager then informed him he was not allowed to wear his service weapon while on their premises. The deputy explained that he was in uniform and on his break, pointed to his patrol car, and told him it would be in violation of department policy for him to remove his service weapon while he is in uniform. The sheriff's office requires uniformed deputies to carry their duty weapons not only for the safety of the deputy, but the general public as well, according to Sheriff Campbell. The store manager refused to allow the deputy to come inside to pick up the ring that he had already paid for. The manager stated our deputy would need to return to the store at a different time when he was not armed. The deputy then left the store without the ring that he had already purchased. Sheriff Campbell said he and his department are deeply saddened by the event. The reaction our deputy encountered is very difficult for us to comprehend, and we earnestly hope situations such as these are few and far between. Thank you to the citizens and businesses in our area who wholeheartedly support the men and women who wear the badge. K Jewelers corporate office has not returned any of the sheriff's numerous calls at the time of this post. The company did respond to the Facebook post and issued an apology to the deputy and the sheriff's office. K Jewelers statement stated that they are reaching out to the customer at the county sheriff's office to sincerely apologize for the mishandling of this matter. They have tremendous respect for law enforcement, and they thank the office for bringing this to their attention. K Jewelers also said it will be reinforcing employee training regarding the company's firearm policy, especially as it pertains to uniformed law enforcement officers. Sheriff Campbell said he was still awaiting the call from the corporate office, as this was only put on Facebook. It's not just an attack on this individual officer. It's just an attack on this agency. It's an attack on law enforcement in general.
No, it's not. They're being butthurt. No.
So you think it's okay for them to ask the deputy to remove his service
weapon? No. I think they should probably say, hey, can you come back when you're not on duty? I don't know what that area is like. I don't know if this is possible for someone to get a uniform, bring a gun in, say that he's law enforcement.
Police vehicle.
If they stole the uniform.
And he's already purchased this ring. He's already been in there.
Did this guy know him, though? Or was it a different one?
He identified himself.
I wouldn't be that. And it wasn't an affront on the police department or anything. It was a bad choice on this guy's. He made a mistake. They probably have a very strict policy. You can't come in here with the guns. And he's going, well, I don't know. He's an employee.
This is a jewelry store that will most definitely call 911 if a bad guy comes in there to rob them. What is their policy going to be? If an armed deputy comes in there, oh, shit, you got a gun too. Sorry, you can't come in. Please don't save me or any of our inventory. This is ridiculous. It's stupid. It's dumb.
I don't think that this was an insult to the police department. I don't think they were trying to...
It's idiocracy.
It probably was a little stupid, but it wasn't meant to be an insult to the police department.
And to boot, they're trying to save face on social media, but they have yet to return a call to the guy that runs the place
to
try and work things out.
Well, they don't need to talk to the guy who runs the department. They need to talk to that deputy and tell them that they're sorry and...
But they're not. They only care about trying to save face and
social
media.
They should have, but...
Stupid. I'm going to move on because I'll just get on a rant about that for the next hour.
Someone's getting
drug suspects locked in a cocaine-filled shipping container call the police on themselves. As Belgium experienced its hottest day on record last Wednesday, two men found themselves in a sticky situation, trapped in a shipping container full of cocaine. The men then became so hot that they called the police on themselves. Police were called to the port of Antwerp on Wednesday by the men who were trapped inside the shipping container for several hours. Temperatures rose to 102 degrees Fahrenheit Wednesday, which is the hottest ever recorded in the country, according to the National Weather Service. Wednesday's record was smashed a day later with 105.2 Fahrenheit recorded. These men called the police to get them out of there because the container was locked from the outside and it was just too damn hot.
Wow. You'd think they had a friend or something that could have helped them out with that.
Well, they didn't.
Apparently not.
Well, it's time. It's that time of the week.
It's Florida.
It's time for Florida.
Old man passes by, minding his business. He sees a girl smoking a grip. He sees her belly and knows that she's pregnant. He saunters back and gives her a hit. What the hell is with Florida? where all crazy shit seems to come from. A week won't pass by without lots of stories proving that Florida's dumb.
All right. Motel Key helps cops find a burglary suspect. Out of Holly Hill, Florida, a burglary suspect is accused of scuffling with a Holly Hill homeowner Monday morning, left behind his motel room key, according to police. Officers responded to garage burglary at a residence on State Avenue shortly after 6 a.m. The homeowner told police he saw a man, later identified as 21-year-old Keelix Moon, inside his garage when he went to take out the trash. The homeowner confronted Moon, who pushed him to the ground. Moon then ran from the garage with a scooter, a skateboard, and a gas-powered weed eater. That's quite the combination.
Yeah.
The motel room key Moon left behind led police to room 9 at the Twilight Motel off of Ridgewood Avenue. Inside the room, police found Moon and his girlfriend, Buttafuoco Pierce, according to a police report. After getting permission to search the room, police found the scooter and the skateboard inside. The weed eater was found outside the bedroom. Moon was taken into custody and charged with occupied burglary, grand theft, and battery. He's being held on an $8,000 bond at the County Branch Jail in Daytona Beach.
Well, that man screwed up, the guy whose garage it was. He should have done is pulled his pants down, got up on his back, kicked his ass.
Yeah. Seemed to work for that other dude. Florida man arrested for slapping pregnant woman who was smoking a cigarette. Out of Tampa, Florida, a Florida man landed behind bars after he allegedly slapped a pregnant woman who was smoking a cigarette, according to the police report. Felix Taylor of Pensacola was arrested July 17th for aggravated battery, according to the rest of the report. WEAR-TV reports Taylor, age 36, and the victim got into an argument in Pensacola. The victim told Pensacola police she was smoking a cigarette, which made Taylor angry. He told her that she shouldn't be smoking because she is pregnant and that if she wanted cigarettes, her new boyfriend should supply them. According to an arrest report, Taylor plucked the cigarette out of the victim's mouth, threw it on the floor, and slapped her in the mouth with an open palm. The victim was sitting on the bed at the time. Taylor then went into another room, smoked a cigarette of his own before returning to the bedroom and hitting her in the face and the abdomen. Police said that the woman had a swollen lip, which was bleeding. Taylor refused to speak to police, and a warrant was issued for his arrest on March 9th, but he wasn't arrested until July 17th. Taylor is now being held at the county jail. He is due in court on August 8th.
Okay, so he told her she shouldn't be smoking. Pulled a cigarette out, slapped her across the face. She was sitting on a bed. He said that her boyfriend should supply the cigarettes. What was he doing in her bedroom?
He is the boyfriend. He said the new boyfriend should supply the cigarettes.
Oh, okay. So he is breaking up with her.
Yeah.
But then he went and had a cigarette to calm down, apparently. Went back in there, slapped her in the face again, and punched her in the stomach.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got all that right. Not really mad about the first time he slapped her. I think going back and doing it again and punching her in the stomach was a little excessive. I didn't think that should have happened at all, but.
Well.
I'm probably not in the right for believing that, but.
Just, girls, if you get knocked out by that guy, don't smoke. Don't smoke.
Don't smoke anyway.
It's not good for you.
No, whether you're pregnant or not. Certainly not if you're pregnant. Don't, why make the kid smoke? A little irritated. Not as irritated as you were just a little earlier, though.
Florida woman steals an ambulance and then proceeds to crash into a police car. Out of Fort Pierce.
What could possibly go wrong?
Out of Fort Pierce, Florida, a Florida woman had quite the morning on Wednesday after stealing an ambulance.
You're going to put her picture up, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Leading a chase and then crashing into a police car. Law enforcement officials say Amber Seals, age 29, stole an empty ambulance left by paramedics on a call in the Fort Pierce apartment complex. According to the local news station, St. Lucie County, hey, we've been to St. Lucie before.
Yes, we have.
County ambulances are left running. When paramedics were preparing to leave with the patient, they heard a call about a stolen ambulance and thought it was a joke. It turns out Sills had stolen the crew's ambulance. Police then spotted Sills and followed her in a short 3-minute chase before it came to an end with her crashing into one of the police cars.
She's quite the driver, isn't she?
The officer was not injured and Sills was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon on a law enforcement officer, aggravated fleeing and eluding, and grand theft.
Wow. So there's a lot of questions
here. She doesn't look
overly
intelligent there.
No.
St.
Lucie, I think that was a place where there was a condiment assault.
We've had a few stories out of there.
Yeah.
Here we go. Back to some more disgusting news.
Yay.
180 Florida beaches showed some indicator of poop, according to a study. As Floridians continue to trek down to the beach to enjoy summer heat, it is clear that the beaches we know and love are not in the same shape that they once were. According to the report released Tuesday from the nonprofit Environment America Research and Policy Center, out of a sampling of 2,620 beaches across the United States, more than half of these were unsafe for swimming for more than one day in 2018 due to high levels of fecal bacteria from urban runoff, sewage overflow, and failing septic systems.
Wow.
Now in Florida, out of 263 sites, Joe, 180 sampled last year were deemed unsafe for at least one day, spanning across five different counties, with the five most unsafe beaches including the Bayou Texar, Sanders Beach, Crandon Park on Key Biscayne, Bird Key Park, and Venice Fishing Pier. Out of the five counties, Hernando County ranked at the top of the list with 38% of potentially unsafe beaches, followed by Okaloosa County. I've been there, and I've been in that water, so that's nice to know. At 22%, Buttafuoco County at 20%, Walton County at 18%, and Gulf County at 17%. Overall, the Gulf Coast region led the entire country for unsafe beaches with 85%, followed by the Great Lakes at 75% and the West Coast at 67%.
Wow.
So when you go, you know, apparently, you know, usually when I go in the ocean, I'm worried about sharks. Apparently, I should be worried about shit.
Wow, that's disturbing. It really is.
So for those of you that make fun of people that buy their pools at Walmart, for say, joke's on you if you're an ocean person.
Enjoy that swim.
7-foot alligator chilling out in Florida family's pool surprises a local homeowner. Homeowner in Port Charlotte, Florida was surprised in the middle of the night when she found a 7-foot alligator floating around in her swimming pool. Carrie Keeby said that she heard a noise, and when she turned on her patio lights, she was shocked to see the large alligator just lounging in her pool. It was just so unnatural, she told the local news. I was worried that if I did get out, I wouldn't know if it was actually really gone or not. Keeby said that she called the police who notified a wildlife trapper. The trapper put a noose on it, and it went into the death roll. And it went into a death roll that I've seen on TV. The trapper told the frightened woman that he was taking the animal to a farm, but she says she's still worried and even paranoid because she has never seen an alligator in her neighborhood before. She's hoping her kids won't be afraid to swim in the pool in the future. She also hopes to let her dogs out from now on in the evening, hoping they'll alert her if another gator shows up.
I think the gator will eat her dog. Not a dog lover.
Yeah, clearly not.
I'd be worried about my dogs being outside, and she's going to let them out so that they can alert her. Bitch.
Out of Ellenton, Florida, Florida woman punched boyfriend for the way he cut his meat.
Well, last week we had a story about the girlfriend cutting some meat, didn't we?
Yeah. A Florida woman was arrested after punching and spitting at her boyfriend over the way he cut his meat and potatoes.
Wow.
During an argument Thursday between Kimberly Jean Carroll, age 55, and her boyfriend over his style of slicing during dinner, she punched him in the face and then spit at him. It's not known what kind of cutting method the boyfriend used to make Carroll so upset.
I'd like to know.
The boyfriend declined medical treatment, but Carroll was booked in on a misdemeanor domestic battery charge.
Punching him and spitting in his
face. That's another one I'd like to see some type of home security camera footage of. See how he cuts his meat. That's so
I want to know. I wonder what could have upset her so much.
I'm just going to guess. I'm just going to guess that there's probably something, some other things that over the course of the relationship that's probably just been irritating her.
I would guess. I would hope that wouldn't be. I don't know. But
maybe we should have a meat cutting lesson on the show one day.
We could do that.
Yeah. We can have Bill come in here and show us the proper way to
Bill Baker. Bill Baker needs to come in here and show us how to do this stuff. We'll get a big metal table here and I think you'd do a great job.
All right. Well, that's it for this week in Florida. That brings us to our last segment this week. This week in political garbage.
Oh boy. I don't know what this one's about, but it's scaring the shit out of me.
We got two this week too.
Oh boy. Stay.
Everybody, welcome to This Week in Political Garbage. We've got a couple news stories for you this week. Nothing too terribly controversial, just a couple idiotic things that
there's so much shit to go with, though.
Politicians are getting into. You know, all the problems our country's seeing and some of the stuff that
they fight over
is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, if I say a meme, you know what that is.
A what?
A meme.
I mean, no.
So if, and I send them to you, so, you know, you'll say something to me and I'll send some goofy image with a funny saying. Yes. That's a meme.
Yes. Okay.
That's how it's almost replaced emojis in a lot of ways for a lot of people nowadays. They respond with these memes and the gifs of memes and stuff like that.
I don't, but
you know what
do.
I'm talking about.
Yes,
right? I do. I mean,
I'm just too old and dumb.
Well, it's a common way of communicating for a lot of people now. If you send me something funny or I think stupid, I'll send something back that
gets my point across. Send back is like, yeah. This.
Yeah. So anyway, anti-meme law could punish image sharers with massive fines. Memes are a core part of online life, providing us with an internationally understood means of visual conversation, allowing folks to make light of the absurdity of today's world with co-opted images taken from popular media. So for those of you that aren't familiar, you know, Joe and I, we text back and forth every day about whatever. And he'll say something I think's ridiculous, so I'll find a meme of...
That's every day?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's got Homer Simpson on his cup over here. I could find a meme of Homer Simpson with some goofy saying, and I'll respond to Joe with that. And obviously, I did not create Homer Simpson. I did not draw Homer Simpson, and I did not create this meme myself. I can create memes, but it's just easier for me to find them online. Just Google whatever you want. Just go to your Google search engine, type in funny memes, and you can look at them for the rest of your life. There's an endless supply of them, so...
I'll never do that.
But anyway, memes are being a part of a, you know, taking these images from popular media. Now local lawmakers are wanting to shut it down completely. A new bipartisan bill currently working its way through Congress could do exactly that. It threatens seriously big fines for anyone who shares protected material online. The copyrighted related bill would hit people who share protected material online with fines of $15,000 per work infringed.
Wow.
The Copyright Alternative and Small Claims Enforcement Act of 2019, man, that's a mouthful, will create a small claims board with the Copyright Office. This will make it easier for copyright owners to sue for copyright infringement or misinterpretation. Have you ever shared a meme that you didn't make? Most people have.
Yeah.
Or downloaded a photo you saw on social media?
All the time.
If Congress has its way, you could soon get slapped with a $15,000 fine by copyright trolls with no chance of appeal just for doing normal stuff on the internet. These trolls buy up copyrights with the sole intent of sending out mass threats and lawsuits to harvest settlements. Now a dangerous new bill called the Copyright Alternative and Small Claims Enforcement Act is sailing through Congress to make it easier for everyone, from trolls to Hollywood producers, to sue you. The law is being presented as a way to settle a small-scale disputes without putting creators through costly federal litigation. That sounds like a good thing in theory, but the potential implications for meme-loving users sound downright terrifying, especially if the law winds up being abused without recourse from users. The CASE Act is currently waiting a vote before it approaches the Senate.
Where do we start on this? There are this many things happening in the world that need to be addressed, but we are talking about changing manhole cover to utility cover, which I'm still pissed about. And now they're copyrights for memes. It's just a meme. They're not making money on it. I thought that was the reason for. I seem mad about this, but because it's so stupid. If you're using that to make money, like this right here, all the stuff that we do, every time you see us, we are violating this. We're not making any money on this. Hell, we lose. How many thousands of dollars have we lost doing this? And it's just for our sole entertainment. When you send me a meme of Homer Simpson, you can get fined $15,000 for that. I don't know. It just seems like a stupid thing to do. And everyone that's considering this,
you know,
you're an idiot.
In today's age, it's exactly what we're doing here. We've decided just for our own entertainment purposes to do this show. We've had a good time doing it.
Yeah, certainly not profit.
Yeah.
It's not profit. Not profit.
But, you know, we do. We use background images from wherever. Every week it's different, something different.
And sometimes we get...
Yeah.
Sometimes the Facebook police stop
sometimes
us.
Sometimes Facebook police shut me down. But there's a lot of things you guys haven't seen over the course of the show, so... Or heard.
You're welcome.
But... Anyway, with technology, my point is, with technology being the way it is, I mean, everybody has a personal computer in their hands and their pockets now.
Yeah.
Your cell phones can do
amazing things.
Amazing things if you're willing to learn how to do them with it, you know? And it's, you're going to take a big part of that away if you're saying that you can't download. You know, to me, Google's the biggest search engine out there there is. And if you go to images, which everybody does, if they're looking for an image for something, whether it's a presentation or a video they're putting together or something, right. All of a sudden you can't use any of those images on Google. What's that going to do to Google?
And how do you know if it's been copyrighted? Because there's so many images I use for different things, and I don't know, it's just an image to me. Is it copyrighted? Am I going to get a fine for that? What bothers me, aside from the absurdity of this, is that we are paying lawmakers a lot of effing money for crap like this. This is something that should come across their desk and they go, that's stupid. And they should have drinks and laugh about crap like this and deal with real issues. You said I wouldn't get fired up about this stuff. That pisses me off.
It's
because ridiculous. They are being paid to think about this shit.
Well, if that upsets you, Joe.
Okay.
Here we go.
We shall move on.
Out of our favorite city of all time, San Francisco.
Oh, boy.
A petition to change Halloween to the last Saturday in October is starting to gain traction.
Why?
An online petition calling for the change of this year's Halloween date to the last Saturday of October is getting closer to its goal. According to the change.org petition, which launched in 2018 by trade organization Halloween and Costume Association, has garnered more than 59,000 signatures online. The goal is for them to reach 75,000. The petition argues that moving Halloween from Thursday to Saturday would allow for more time for celebration.
Which will make them more money. It's about them making more money.
They say this makes more sense to always have it on a Saturday so that we don't have to worry about getting the kids home and in bed for school the next day. Danielle Paris commented on the petition, also for most people, they wouldn't have to worry about working that day or the day following. I've been saying this for years. It only makes sense to do something like this so the kids can celebrate Halloween and not have to worry about school the next day. Not only that, but adults can enjoy a Halloween party without having to worry about work, according to Brandon Mume. While some people support the change, obviously others don't agree. Halloween it falls on the eve of All Saints Day, which is a Christian holiday, so it's celebrated since the 7th century. May I remind you that Halloween is defined as,
hallowed.
Halloween is known as All Hallows' Eve, or All Saints' Day. It's a celebration observed in a number of countries on the 31st of October, which is the eve of the Western Christian feast of All Hallows' Day. If Halloween is moved to Saturday, that it will no longer be Halloween. True. According to history.com, the date of the holiday was established in the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain?
Guttafuoco.
Halloween is an annual holiday celebrated each year on October 31st, and Halloween 2019 occurs this year on Thursday, October 31st. It originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Guttafuoco, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off evil spirits.
Since the 7th century, Halloween's not... It's gotten so much bigger than it was when I was a kid. It was about dressing up and getting candy, trick-or-treat. It's not even trick-or-treat anymore because it used to be soap and windows and silly shit like that. But so basically it wants to be moved to a Saturday so drinking can occur. Don't give me a crap about getting kids to bed early and stuff, because Halloween ends fairly early because they don't want to pass a certain time because it's dangerous. So it's about drinking and whatever other parties you want to go to, and you can still do it on Saturday. It doesn't really matter. Once again, there's a lot of thought going into stupid shit. And you know, when are they going to change Christmas? Well, we need to make Christmas on Friday night now, or Saturday, because it's just easier to travel. And just, can you think about something important?
Well, this is really important to these people. For centuries now, it's been October 31st.
Right.
And
I remember.
We've explained why it's like that way. You grew up with it being on October 31st. You didn't have any problems going to school the next day.
No.
I didn't have any problems going to school the next day. My children, who are still in school, have no problem going to school the next day. Hell, the schools celebrate it everywhere they go now. They have their own little classroom parties. They have things. They decorate. They do up the lockers in the hallways. It's a fun day. A couple days for them, really.
Yep.
They even have dances sometimes. They'll have like Halloween dances and stuff like that. And if we move out to Saturday, well, then are they going to have all this crap on the wrong day at the schools?
Well, it'll be on Fridays then.
Well, that's not right.
Oh, wow.
It's not right.
Well, How ridiculous that they're putting that much thought in it.
Yeah.
And something. And I'm not dogging Halloween. It's a fun holiday. Yeah. I mean, people really.
It's not about the holiday. It's about the fact that lawmakers are trying to.
Once again. Well, the lawmakers aren't doing it. That party company is trying to do it.
But if they get enough of the
then the lawmakers actually have to look at it.
Yeah.
Which is that's not even their fault. I mean, the government's stupid anyway. But I can't blame them for this because they have to do that.
Yeah.
I just did I don't know if you read my silly Facebook shit, or you try not to.
You have a Facebook?
Yeah, well, I did a big thing about teachers and the state and stuff like that. That's what they need to be concentrating on. They need to concentrate on things that matter, and they're wasting their time on frigging memes and moving Holloway to the last Saturday of October. Kiss my ass.
Don't worry about the all the people without jobs. Don't worry about border security.
All
don't
the
worry
about homeless people. Yeah, we don't worry
Let's
about
worry
them.
About Halloween and manhole covers.
What was the other thing they wanted to change? Oh, police. It's police person. Can't be a policeman or a policewoman. Yeah. Yes, that was the other stupid effing thing they did.
God. Try and keep an eye on that one. See how that's developing.
You know, I can't get over that story. I'm still mad about Berkeley. You know what I pictured when you were telling me about that? I pictured them walking into the office where they're going to take this vote, walking over homeless people to get there. Or is that manhole cover there? It's a utility hole cover. You guys are so effing stupid. You got elected?
Yeah.
How did you get elected? You're getting paid? I hate you. I hate all of you.
All right. With that being said, that is the...
On that positive note.
This positive note. That is this week's Doe and 5-0 show. Appreciate you guys watching and listening along, and we will see you next week. See ya.
See you later.